From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around Jesus to hear him, at which the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus addressed this parable to them. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that is coming to me." So the father divided the property. Some days later, the younger son collected all his belongings and went off to a distant land, where he squandered all his money on dissolute living. After he had spent everything, a great famine broke out in that country, and he was in dire need. So he attached himself to one of the propertied class of that place, and set him to work on his farm to take care of the pigs. He longed to fill his belly with the husks that were fodder for the pigs, but no one made a move to give him anything. Coming to his senses at last, he said, "How many hired hands at my father's place have more than enough to eat, while I am here starving? I will break away and return to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' With that, he set off for his father's house. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was deeply moved. He ran out to meet him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer deserve to be called your son.' The father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring out the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Take the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found.' Then the celebration began. Meanwhile, the elder son was out on the land. As he neared the house on his way home, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him for the reason for the dancing and the music. The servant answered, 'Your brother is home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back in good health.' The son grew angry at this and would not go in, but his father came out and began to plead with him. He said in reply to his father, 'For years now I have slaved for you. I never disobeyed one of your orders, and you never gave me so much as a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. Then, when this son of yours returns, and having gone through your property with loose women, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' replied the father, 'you are with me always, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. This brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found.' The Gospel of the Lord. Father, give me my share of the inheritance. A rough paraphrase of that might be, Father, I don't want to wait around till you die, so give me my money now. You might as well be dead as far as I'm concerned. And the father let go of his son, gave the inheritance, let his son go with the gift of freedom. And one of the hardest things about parenting, that process of letting go, hoping to shield our children of the hardness of life, but knowing they have to learn they've got free will given by God. And the son ended the relationship. In terms of sin language, this is a mortal sin. Mortal means killing, death. It didn't matter to the son if the father were alive or dead. In fact, he's better off dead because he gets his inheritance. End of relationship. goes forth, squanders the money, drugs, sex, rock and roll, whatever it was then, matzah, wine, harp, lyre, wasted it, poured it out, spent it all, wasted his life. A famine comes, he's reduced, hits bottom. In 12-step programs, they speak about hitting bottom. And sometimes at that point of hitting bottom is when we can come to our senses and realize it's not all about self. There's something much higher. There's a higher power, a God, in our life. He came to his senses. Conversion. We've been having a Wednesday evening Lenten series here that's titled Hearts of Stone to Hearts of Flesh, tracing the process of conversion. This past Wednesday evening, Deacon Storm spoke on conversion. It was an excellent presentation. And I went home and I saw, though, another excellent presentation on conversion where I wasn't expecting to find it. On the TV sitcom Home Improvements, the skit that night was Tim Allen, that character. He was arrested, and he had to spend the night in a holding cell. It was a funny show, but I couldn't laugh because it brought back too many memories of, for me, the worst night of my life, the night that I spent in jail, in a holding cell that was a lot like the one that Tim spent the night in. But spending that night in jail wasn't the worst. The worst part was the morning when my father came and bailed me out and having to look him in the eye and see the pain that I caused him. But that's not all I saw. I also saw the love that he still had for me. He didn't love what I was doing, but he still loved me. And that was the grace. The grace that finally, through my life and the time of being the prodigal and searching and trying to find all out there, finally led me back home. Back to say the prayer of the prodigal. The prayer that I said in all honesty and sincerity, God, I don't even know if you exist. I heard a lot of people talking about God, but I didn't feel God. It was a lot of words for me at that time, empty words. But when I hit bottom, I also hit my knees and I said, God, I don't know if you exist. I know I'm not doing a very good job of running my life alone. But if you do exist, reveal yourself to me and I'll follow you. 27 years later, I'm still trying to follow that God who did reveal himself. And revealed himself through my father's eyes, through those who've loved me and stuck with me, through the Christian community, and is still revealing himself. At that time, I realized what it's meant, that saying we hear, faith is a gift. And it is. There was nothing I could have done to earn it. But all of a sudden, I became aware that God exists, and God loves me, like the Father. And from that, it's made all the difference in how I live my life. It also makes a difference in looking at others, not to be too judgmental, because there, but for the grace of God, go I, go all of us. And if we believe that faith is a gift, our attitude towards those who don't have that gift shouldn't be putting them down like the Pharisees did with the sinners with Jesus, but saying if they don't have something, maybe we need to share what we have with them. The good news that God loves us and forgives us. The gospel. That's what evangelization is all about, sharing that good news. And sometimes we need to share that with the prodigals, those who are out there who aren't here. The good news. The younger son came to his senses. He decided to return home. He memorized his speech. Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer willing to call you. Father, I've sinned against God. Rehearsed it over and over. This is what he was going to say. His father, looking out, saw him in the distance. How many days do you think the father looked out, looking for his son? And his father saw him. It says he ran to him. Didn't wait for him to get there. Didn't wait for him even to get his memorized speech out. But said, quick, bring the robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted cow. Let's have a party. Because our son is home. This Wednesday evening, in our Lenten series, Father Tom will speak on forgiveness and celebrating forgiveness in reconciliation, particularly part of our sacrament of reconciliation in the church, how we as a community celebrate being forgiven. And part of the changes that we've gone through as a church in the sacrament of reconciliation is how we see that. We see that not just as confession. That's part of it. But the reality, what we really are celebrating, is reconciliation, being forgiven, being reunited. It's so much richer. I know, though, for a lot of people, the changes have been confusing, especially with this sacrament of reconciliation. It used to be, it was pretty clear, you know, at least I knew what I was supposed to say. You know, I had my list, you know, hey, I did this 26 times, that 10 times, this 5. I mean, it was a security in the list, you know, like, just like the prodigal. He had a secure speech. And now the church is saying it's important for us to confess, but what's most important, as it always has been, is contrition, the heart, the internal. Not so much worrying about the externals and getting every last sin on that list. I'd encourage you, if you haven't celebrated the sacrament recently, this is a wonderful time. In 2 Wednesdays from now, we're going to have a communal celebration of the sacrament of reconciliation right here, afternoon and evening. And it's a wonderful experience. And even I look back and think I'd ever be saying, let's go celebrate confession. I never thought of confession and celebrate in the same. But celebrate reconciliation. And it's a wonderful experience to stand with hundreds of other sinners. You'll realize how many sinners there really are in this parish, by the way. As we stand together and realize we're not alone, we're all sinners, but also realize we're all forgiven by our Heavenly Father, who will rush out to meet us and not to worry about what to say. We'll be led through it. We'll be guided. The priest will guide you as you go. Don't worry about that part. Worry about this part. Change of heart, coming to senses. Father Smith made an interesting comment yesterday. He said this parable of the prodigal son, if you think about it, it really should be called the parable of the prodigal father. Prodigal, the term, the word means a spendthrift, someone who wastes. Think about that parable. Who was the one who was really the spendthrift, who wasted, was overly generous? The father with his love, his forgiveness. The elder son says, you're too generous. What is it? Hey, wait. Our Heavenly Father is so much more generous than we can ever imagine. So much more forgiving if we will only come. If you don't believe it, he sent us proof. Right up on that wall. Our God has sent us the ultimate prodigal son. His own son. The son who was such a prodigal, he spent everything. He poured himself out in love, totally, for us. And he calls us to do the same, to spend ourselves for each other, to forgive as he's forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. And not to be like the older brother, not to be complaining, stingy, resentful, but open, forgiving, celebrating the prodigal son coming home. I don't know if you've heard about the disease that they finally have found a name for that's been around for centuries. It's a disease they found is in certain populations more than others. And this one they found is in religious people more than in non-religious people for some reason. In fact, they've even traced it back, and they found out that the Pharisees suffered very significantly from this disease. It's called, have you heard of it? It's called elder son-itis. Well, don't worry. They've come up with a test for it, to test to see if you're positive for this disease. In fact, you've probably heard we're going to do that test for everybody here in a couple weeks. Have you heard that? I know, it must be in the next newsletter where you're explaining that. But on Easter Sunday, when you come for Mass, the test will be underway. And the beginning of it is, if you know, after you have to park way out because there's so many other people here, the Easter Catholics who come and the church is full, and the real test is, what you do is when you get to the door and the usher's there and he says, "I'm sorry, the church is full, you have to go to the hall for the overflow Mass," that's when you take your pulse. And if you're really beating hard and you're really angry, saying, these Christmas Easter Catholics, they don't come all year, then they come on the best day and they take the best day, blah, 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 blah. At that point, if that's your reaction, you're positive. You have to seek treatment immediately. But if you come and you see all these extra cars and all these extra people and your reaction is, "Wow, isn't this great? Look at all these people who have come home. The spark is still alive there. Hey, I don't know you. My name is, welcome. You all come back now, you hear?" Then you don't have it. In fact, if that second reaction is in your heart, to welcome back the brothers and sisters who've fallen away, who don't join us on a regular basis, maybe the Lord's planted a seed in you for ministry to reach out to our brothers and sisters who aren't here with us, who may have been hurt or aren't here for a number of reasons. It's interesting, the Father doesn't say to the Son when he comes back, "Well, where you been? What have you been doing?" He says, "Welcome back." And there's a ministry of remembering church, geared to people, especially Catholics who've been away, to remember, rejoin. Listen inside your own heart, particularly if maybe you've been there. Know what it's like to be away, to come home again, and how important it is to be welcomed home. St. Paul speaks of us as ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are, to go out, witness Christ, be diplomats, evangelists. Welcome our friends to the table, to the banquet, to the party, because that's what the Eucharist is. Our God is throwing a party for us. And it's interesting, we start each time with a penitential rite. We remember that we are sinners. "Lord, have mercy. I confess." But we don't end with that. We also remember that our God has forgiven us. Our God is a spendthrift with his love and forgiveness. So it's about time to continue on with our celebration, to have our banquet, to have our meal. The Lamb has been slain. The baptismal robes have been given out. Let's party, because though we once were lost, now, through the grace of God, we are found.